But this time we passed on to our second great doctrinal theme of the White Lotus Sutra, perhaps more briefly. And that second doctrinal theme is that of the eternity of the Buddha, or literally of the infinite life of the Buddha. Even in the early Buddhist scriptures, by which I mean the more archaic Pali texts, we do find a distinction drawn between the Rupakaya and the Dhammakaya. The Rupakaya is the Buddha's physical body, at least his physical presence, as we encounter it in history. And the Dharmakaya is his inner spiritual transcendental realization. We could even say his inner transcendental personality. Kaya literally means body, and Rupakaya is often translated form of body, Dharmakaya as Dharma body, but Kaya doesn't really mean body. It means something much more like the Greek hypostasis. It's much more like person, but you could say person without personality. So you've got the Buddha as he appears, especially as he appears to unenlightened persons, in a physical form, in a human form. And you've got the Buddha as he is in the depths of his being, as he is in reality, as he is at one, so to speak, with the Absolute. So you've got the Rupakaya Buddha, the Dharmakaya Buddha, but of course there aren't two Buddhas, there's only one Buddha, who is both Rupakaya and Dharmakaya. Rupakaya, as it were, on one level, and Dharmakaya on the other. So this is basic Buddhist teaching. We find it in the Theravada, and we also find it in the Mahayana, especially in the Madhyamika. But the Yogacharins introduced a refinement. The Yogacharins introduced a third body, a third kaya, a third hypostasis, and that was the Sambhogakaya, sometimes translated as the body of glory. We might say the archetypal Buddha. So you have, as it were, three Buddhas, three bodies, three kayas, or three hypostases. You have the Rupakaya Buddha, the Buddha as he appears on the level of history, the archetypal Buddha, the Buddha as he, so to speak, appears in higher celestial realms to great bodhisattvas, and then the Dharmakaya, the Buddha as he is ultimately at one with absolute reality. Now, we're not concerned so much with the Trikaya, we're more concerned with the distinction between the Rupakaya and the Dharmakaya, because we find that reflected in the Saddharma Pundarika Sutra. The Saddharma Pundarika Sutra makes no mention of Trikaya. It's concerned only with Rupakaya and Dharmakaya. But all three are important. Rupakaya is important, Dharmakaya is important, Trikaya is important. Or we may say that Rupakaya and Dharmakaya are both equally important. But the White Lotus Sutra definitely emphasizes Dharmakaya. It may be that there were reasons for that. It may be that by the time the White Lotus Sutra was written down, the Dharmakaya, the Buddha as he was in absolute reality, had come to be obscured by, as it were, historical recollections of the Rupakaya Buddha. So the White Lotus Sutra emphasizes very strongly that the Buddha is not to be identified with his material form, is not to be identified with his historical personality, is not to be regarded as limited in the depths of his being by considerations of time and space. In reality, he transcends time, he transcends space. The Dharmakaya, that is the real Buddha, transcends time and transcends the space. He is infinite, he is eternal. So that is the distinctive emphasis of the White Lotus Sutra on the Dharmakaya rather than on the Rupakaya. But I would suggest that many of us perhaps need an opposite emphasis. We need an emphasis on the human historical Buddha, because it's rather difficult for us to envisage to get into view the Dharmakaya. It's very difficult for us to soar beyond space and time and just glimpse the eternal Buddha, the Buddha of infinite life, revealed in the White Lotus Sutra. I remember in this connection that when I was in Kalimpong and when I came in contact with many Tibetan Buddhists, I was surprised that many of them hadn't heard of Shakyamuni. They might have just heard the name, but it didn't mean anything to them. They'd heard, yes, if they heard of Amitabha, they knew all about Amitabha, they knew all about Tara, they knew all about Avalokiteshvara, Manjushri, Padmasambhava, Guru Rinpoche, that is. They knew all about them, but they didn't really know anything about Shakyamuni. In their case, the Dharmakaya, or perhaps I should say the Sambhogakaya, had overshadowed the Rupakaya. They'd virtually forgotten all about the Rupakaya. But we need to remember the Rupakaya. We need to remember the Buddha in his human, historical existence, because this can be a very great source of inspiration to us. So I would suggest to those of our friends who are followers of Tibetan Buddhism and who are followers perhaps of Zen, that you shouldn't neglect, you shouldn't forget the human historical Buddha, because after all, it's from that same human historical Buddha, as represented especially in the Pali Canon, that this whole great tradition of Buddhism has come down, this whole great tradition of Dharma, in all its multifarious forms, has come down. So we should never forget, we should never overlook that human historical Buddha. If we read the Pali scriptures, if we read the Pali scriptures, even in summary, even in extracts, we'll discover so many cases, so many examples, so many stories, in which the Buddha illustrates not just so many features of the Dharma, but so many aspects of his own personality in a very, very inspiring sort of way. We can derive very great inspiration indeed from the life of that human historical Buddha. So perhaps we need to give somewhat more attention than some of us have done to that same human historical Buddha. We really need to follow his life step by step, from the Enlightenment to the final Parinirvana.